Hi, thanks for joining this week's podcast with Pastor James Jones of the Divergent Church. We hope you will be blessed by the message you are about to hear. If you would like some more information about the church, please feel free to reach out via email at divergentcog@aol.com or go over and check out our website, divergentcog.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you have a blessed day.
So today, we are going to pick back up on the humility of discernment, part two. Last week, we talked about the humility of discernment. And we started into this topic, and we started into talking about this. So this week, we're going to conclude this topic on the humility of discernment. And we're going to start in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 in our reading today. Now, just a quick review. Some of the things we talked about last week, the enemy is a salesman. The enemy's a salesman. He's good at it. He will convince you need something that you do not need, church. He will convince you that you want something you do not want. That's what he does. And we need discernment to be able to understand those things. And we related that, of course, to, you know, you get infomercials and television commercials that convince you if you buy this product or if you, it'll make you feel this way, it'll make you look this way, it'll make you, you know, that's their job is to advertise and sell that you need it. Well, the enemy does the same thing. If you'll do this, it'll make you feel this way. If you do this, it'll make you complete. If you do this, and it'll be outside of the will of God. So we need to have discernment to know what is inside and what is outside the will of God. We need to learn discernment. We talked last week about the learning of discernment, about how we learn that and how we can also teach it to our children when they're looking at something and observing things in the world around them. What is the message? What is being said there? What is God, you know, is God left out? Is God mocked in this? You know, teaching our children discernment. So discernment is learned, it's something that's developed, it's something that's nurtured, and it comes from understanding. It comes from understanding and from developing our ability. We want discernment. We need discernment. But in order to have it successfully, we must develop our ability. I'm a preacher. I'm called to preach. Now, I've told you many times, part of my testimony is when I went to the pastor at the church I grew up and said, I'm called to preach. He said, are you sure? Because that wasn't me. I mean, you guys, in social events, I'm not the most, you know, I've got to pray before I go somewhere socially so I can act, you know, get involved with other people. Otherwise, I end up, you know, kind of reverting a little bit. And my wife's looking at me. I'm like, all right, Lord, come on. You know, and just walking forward and anointing, doing something I'm not able to do in the physical, but in the spiritual I'm able to do. Well, okay, I'm called to be a preacher. It wasn't good enough for me to say, okay, give me a microphone and let me preach. I would have damaged a lot of people, church. You can do that. You could damage, oh man, there's preachers that damage a whole lot of people every day across this country. You have to develop that ability. Just like discernment. Discernment's not this thing God drops on you and says, here you go, you're ready to discern. It's an ability that you develop. It is a spiritual gift, and it is something that we all need, and we all must understand, but it's also something we all must develop. You say, even when I learned the Word of God, and even when I started moving in the Word of God properly, and I became educated, and I became more mature, I still needed to, I finished my degrees. I was 40-something years old when I finally got my master's degree, but I finished it because I wanted to be a tool that God could use, not because I wanted a paper on the wall. The paper's actually in an envelope on my bookshelf right now. I haven't displayed it or anything. I needed more education. I wanted to know more. I wanted to grow. I wanted to be a sharp tool that God could use. As a preacher, as a teacher, as someone who declares the Word of God, and as those who are walking in discernment, we should be no less, developing our discernment. So we talked about that last week. The first judgments we make, and this was where we kind of ended up last week, the first judgments we make concern ourselves. This is where the humility of discernment starts. To effectively operate in this gift and to help others, we must first deal with our own evil. As Jesus said, we must remove the plank from our eye before trying to pull the speck from someone else's. And we talk, so this is the foundation. This is what we talked about last week when we talked about the humility of discernment. We need to learn discernment. We need to develop discernment. We need to continue to grow in discernment. And the way we do that is by getting into the Word of God, because we looked and we saw in 2 Peter how he has already given us everything we need through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. So let's look in Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read the first 14 verses and we're going to continue this thought. We're going to go a little farther this week in discernment. And in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Now we talked about this. This means they're slaves of Christ. They're his property. We belong to him. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, and we're going to talk about that, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, Paul is using discernment here. Watch this in verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to all, to the whole palace guard, and to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren and the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, we talked last week about the importance of verse 10. He talked about how he wanted them to have discernment, and the reason being in verse 10, so that you can approve the things that are excellent and that you may be sincere and without offense. So there was an understanding that we needed to live holy, and we need to not just discern, but we need to discern within ourselves how we were behaving and who we were as individuals. And the first thing we're going to talk about this morning is discernment is spiritual. The word of God is spiritually discerned. We know that. In nature, it is spiritual. And we understand it and we put it into practice by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit, so that the word of God comes alive in our life. And discernment is therefore spiritual in nature. We discern and we judge spirits, and we do so spiritually, but we do so in the understanding and the wisdom and with the standard of the Word of God. Not with how I feel, not with what everybody else is doing, not with what somebody said, but with what the Word of God says. If I'm going to make an accurate judgment, I need to compare it to the Word of God. This must be my standard. My standard can't be how I feel at the moment. My standard can't be what I'm thinking at the moment. My standard has to come from the Word of God, which will judge how my thinking goes. We judge spirits. We discern spirits. We discern the times. We desire to do this. We live in chaotic times, church. And to judge the times, we must have discernment. It's not enough to know what is happening around us. You have to know why it is happening. Then you can really understand what is happening. Paul uses discernment right here in verse 12 of the text. You see, he's been in prison. He's been chained. He's been beaten. He's been neglected. All of these things have happened. And Paul doesn't say, boy, I've suffered and, you know, I've really given this. Paul says this about all of that. All of that suffering, all of that. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's discernment wasn't, God, why am I in chains? God, why am I locked up again? God, why am I? He saw it. He saw what was happening. The word of God was striking a nerve. The word of God was doing something. And there was this revolting happening. There was this upheaval happening, if you will. And then the man of God was thrown into prison. The man of God was beaten, or he was stoned, or he was neglected, or he was falsely accused. And Paul didn't look at a situation by how he felt. He looked at it with discernment. This is going to further the gospel, because once this has happened, they're going to see his commitment to it. Once this has happened, they're going to see his unwavering compassion and love for Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, in their minds, as he said a little earlier, the whole temple guard, everybody knew. My chains are in Christ. My chains aren't because of them. They didn't chain me. They didn't put me. They may think they did, but God has brought me here for this reason, to be a light. See, when you have discernment, you might be in the dungeon. You might be in chains. You might be in the worst place on the face of the earth. But when you have discernment, you know, God brought me here for a reason. God brought me here to shine a light in this darkness. So let me shine a light where I'm at. You see, this is when discernment really starts kicking in. Because we not only are looking at other things, we're not only looking at ourselves, but now we're looking at our situation and where we are and our surroundings. And we start thinking, instead of, what am I doing here? Why has God put me here? What is it you are doing? And then not only do I know what's happening, but I know why it's happening. Then comes the humility of discernment. I am humbled by what I have seen in my own life. I am humbled by what God allows me to see. True spiritual gifts are always accompanied by spiritual fruit. That's imperative. And I mean, it's so imperative, and even more so possibly in Pentecostal churches, because we love the gifts of the Spirit and we love the manifestations of the Spirit. But do we truly love the fruit of the Spirit? True spiritual gifts are always accompanied by true spiritual fruit. I'm humbled by the love of God. I've been changed by the love of God. And it shows. It is evident to those around me. You can say I have discernment. Before I go farther, I'm reminded of what James says. Show me your faith by your words, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Show me your discernment because you can tell me all about it. I'll show you my discernment when I do something about it. I saw something interesting on a computer the other day, scrolling through the little feed, and it has a picture of a lion. And it says, have you ever noticed a lion doesn't have to tell anybody he's a lion? I mean, it's simplistic, but it's true. He doesn't have to warn you, hey, I'm a lion. Once you see him, you know what he is, and you know you better run or find a cage or something. You get some protection. Start to pray. A lion doesn't have to tell you he's a lion. Someone who has spiritual discernment does not have to come out and proclaim to everybody, I have spiritual discernment. And take the onus off of God and put it on me, that right away tells me something's wrong. See, it's the humility of discernment. I've operated in Pentecostal churches since I was a teenager, and I've seen it time and time again. Not all the time, but I've seen it time and time when somebody will come in and they'll talk about how they have, and they may very well have a gift from God, the gift of healing, gift of miracle, gift of, and they'll come in and it'll be a show. And it's all about me, and look what I did. And here's my, you're an instrument that God decides to use, and if you're not careful, he'll put you right back in the pouch and pull out another one. A faithful one, a true one, one that will truly make a difference. You see, discernment is spiritual in nature, and there is a humility of discernment. There's a humility with every spiritual gift because, and we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. You know, this year we're really getting into training the individual, and Sunday school is just the very first step of it. We're going to be doing some more classes and some more training and some more things and getting into study and getting into deep things. But there is a danger in spiritual gifts. If we have not laid a solid foundation, if I have not drawn close to him and find my discernment, my healing, my miracles, my faith in his word and in his word alone, then when those spiritual gifts begin to operate, there is a temptation to become arrogant, as though I'm more spiritual than somebody else because I've performed a miracle. I'm more spiritual than this person because I gave you a word of wisdom. I didn't give you anything. God used me to bring it to you, and thank God for him. I was allowed to be a part of that plan, but I didn't do it. You know what one of Moses' biggest things against him was? It seems small, but this is one of the biggest problems Moses had in the wilderness, one of the things that kept him out of the promised land. When he lost his temper and he got angry with the people and said, do I need to bring you water from the rock? And he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. God gave him the water. Moses was the instrument. But for that moment in time, Moses got caught up in emotion. He got caught up in anger. He said, must I provide water for you again? Must I? He didn't say, God's getting angry. You're testing God's patience. God, must I provide water for you again? Okay, and he strikes the rock and the water flows. When we start taking the credit for the work of God, That's the thing about spiritual gifts. They are important. They are imperative in the church. But if you don't know how to use them, they're dangerous. It's like giving a child a weapon that has not been trained how to use that weapon. That child may be dangerous. That child may be somebody that everybody looks at and says, oh, something's different about that child. But that child is going to hurt some people and hurt themselves. Much like I would have done if I'd have just grabbed a mic and started preaching when I was 17 years old. Much like many of us would do if we just, God just fully opened our eyes to discernment and gave us all full discernment and we just walked forward without the humility, without the understanding, without the respect, without the gratefulness for that gift. It comes from Jesus Christ. But church, it does come. It's not some mystical, magical thing where you got to do something. No. God desires for us to operate in discernment. And we must. But again, every true spiritual gift is accompanied by true spiritual fruit. When people see you, and this is going to be humbling, but this is the humility of discernment right here, church. This is humbling for me, okay? For every one of us. Don't think I'm standing up here on a pedestal and looking down and saying, be like me. I'm looking at this and saying, man, the word of God is harsh. When people see you and I, what do they see? When they see us, do they see love? I mean unconditional love. See, if I'm going to walk around with discernment, or if I'm going to walk around with a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, whatever spiritual gift it may be, but we're talking about discernment right now. If I'm going to walk around talking about I have discernment and I can see things and I can perceive things because of the Spirit of God. When people see me, do they see the fruit of love in my life? How about of joy? And I'm saying true fruit because you can fake fruit for a while. You can fake love for a... Man, people can fake love on a Sunday. I've seen, you get to a big church, I mean like one of, I've been in a lot of them, and I've seen people who will shake a hand and go, hey, how you doing? And just start, to, as soon as they walk away, they've got something to say about it. I mean, they can fake the love, they can fake the joy, they can fake the Christianity, but as soon as a person walks by, the fakeness comes off, the mask is gone, and you see the ugly. True spiritual fruit. Oh, it's going to get worse. This was the easy stuff, love and joy. How about peace? This is the one that catches us. Are you ready? Hold your ears for a second. No, I'm just kidding. Don't hold your ears. Patience. Man. Why is that a fruit of the Spirit? Come on, Lord. I mean, you couldn't you just like love, joy, peace, and you know, other stuff. Good stuff. Patience. You know a tree by its fruit. This is the spiritual fruit, church. If I'm going to operate in a spiritual gift, if I'm going to say I have discernment, if I'm going to say I have wisdom, if I'm going to say I'm operating in the Spirit of God, then I need to prove it. Not with my words, but with my life. My life should display it. I shouldn't have to say I'm a lion. People should see the fruit. Patience. Kindness. Kindness. My goodness. When we point out somebody else's flaws or faults, do we get excited to point them out? It's not kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Here's one. Gentleness. Man, if Pentecostals could master this one. I know so many who, when they see something, you know, God, and God will show you. God will do it. It is available to every single individual on the face of the earth. But when God shows us something, there's always the very select few that are not responding to the Spirit of God, but responding to the spirit of the enemy. And they can't wait to point out somebody's flaws. We all have flaws, church. They're just different from one another. It's like the three ministers that went on a retreat. And they were together and they formed an accountability partner. There was a bunch of ministers at the retreat. Three ministers went to a retreat. And they were all from the same town and they were, you know, talking to each other. And they said, we just need to bear our sins and our griefs with each other so we can pray for each other. And one pastor said, I struggle with lust. I've had three affairs in the past 2 years nobody knows about. And the other pastor says, I struggle with gambling addiction. I've gambled all of our savings away and nobody knows it. And the third pastor says, I struggle with gossip and I can't wait to get home to tell everybody. Just because we can see something, just because we can identify something doesn't mean we should. self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Man, this world has lost control. But if I have discernment, I have self-control. If I have discernment, you know, Paul had discernment. When you're locked up in chains for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you better have a level of self-control. When you're falsely accused, you better have a level of self-control. When people say all manner of evil, you better have a level of self-control or you're going to lose your witness because you're going to be so tempted to fire back and tell them how it is and tell them off. No, don't do that. Everything I need through my knowledge of Jesus Christ, the more of this word I have in me, the more of the characteristics of Christ I have in me, the more prepared I am for greater things. You know a tree by its fruit. Jesus taught that so many times. And he did so for a reason. To operate in any spiritual gift, there must be true spiritual fruit. And discernment is no different. In fact, discernment is imperative that we operate in humility and in understanding. Especially a gift like this, making spiritual judgments about spiritual things. Discernment is spiritual, church. It is not a feeling. This is where it gets dangerous. We can feel moved. And if we aren't careful, if we don't have understanding, we will feel moved by a spirit that is not the Spirit of God. And if we don't have discernment, we will receive that spirit into our lives and we will be all kinds of lost. What is Satan? He's the great imitator of God. Always has been. When the Spirit of God moves in an altar, and there's emotion. Here's the thing, and I've always said this, and this is something that's been, you know, since we were doing youth ministry. You have got to have the emotional connection with God. Absolutely. And some people only have the emotional connection with God, and that's dangerous. You have got to have the logical or the maturing connection with God where you're learning and you're educating and you're being taught and you are logically in the Word and getting the truth of the Word. When you put those two together, you grow. When you separate them, you get in trouble because then you get over here and it's just cold and feelingless and meaningless and it's all about X's and O's and dollars and noses and numbers and statistics and it's not about Jesus Christ. It's just about what I know. And if you go over here, then it's all about feeling and it's all about excitement and anything can get that feeling. So if I start following the wrong spirit because it's the same feeling, I'm going to get lost because what am I doing? I'm following a feeling. But when I have in conjunction, I'm growing in maturity. I'm growing in wisdom. I'm growing logically in the Word of God and being planted in it. But I have that spiritual connection with Him as well, that emotional connection. Our relationship with Christ is not all one or the other. It is both. It is an emotional connection. There are times where the Spirit of God will make you feel a certain way, whether it's under conviction, whether it's overwhelmed with love, whether it's just a flowing of peace from God. That will happen. But don't follow the feelings. Because the devil can mock those feelings for a moment or two. Discernment. I have to have discernment. It's not a feeling. It's spiritual. Have I learned enough about discernment, about Jesus Christ? Have I learned enough about it? Hearing His voice above and over the crowd that wants to influence me. Again, the enemy's a salesman. He's going to try and influence you. He's not going to back down. He's not going to give up. But do I have the discernment to know the voice of God? If I have spent time with Him, I know His voice. Do I have understanding? Do I have recognition of what is right and what is wrong? Do I have a standard to judge something by? Can I tell if I'm basing my judgments, my discernment, on God and His Word, or on how I feel at the moment? On what makes me feel good? Am I operating on feeling or on the fact of His Word? Am I truly discerning the world around me or simply acting out on what I feel at the moment? Walk into a situation, I feel uncomfortable. The Spirit of God doesn't want me here. Pretty sure the prison didn't feel real comfortable either. Now, understand, there are times you will get into a room and there will be an uncomfortable feeling. That can very well be God. That can very well be God saying, you're entering into a place, back off a little bit, step back a little bit. You can enter into a church or into a building and you can begin to feel the Spirit of God and the presence of God. Now, if you know the presence of God, you know the presence of God. You can also walk into a feeling, into a building, and get a mimicked feeling. And if I don't know the God, if I am not grounded and surrounded and filled with the Word of God, then I could get myself really lost really fast. You know what the Mormons will tell you? They'll come to your door and they'll have you read and they'll have you look at their... But this is one of the things they say. If you get a warm feeling inside, you know this is from God. Let me tell you something. The devil is real. And he'll give you a spiritual feeling if you're looking for one. I'm not going to follow my feelings, church. No, I'm not going to totally disregard them. Understand, there's a balance again. There's a balance here. Because again, I may walk into somewhere and I may know, all right, the presence of God is here. I know it. And instantly, I know this is where I need to be. I may walk into somewhere and feel uneasy in the spirit. Like, all right, Lord, what am I? I'm not going to just like, all right, that's it. It's a Lord, what am I feeling? What's going on here? Maybe I need to run. Maybe I need to go in there and be a thermostat and change the atmosphere. Those feelings are not bad, but they don't need to run us. That's where discernment, that's where maturity comes in. We need to learn to steward and discern what is going on around us. And the only way to do that is to take yourself to school and learn. And here's the school, here's the teacher, here's everything you need. Because just like 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, He has already given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. He's given us everything we need. We don't need anything else. Everything we could ever need, we have in Him. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews. I'm going to share one more portion of Scripture with you before we wrap this up. We're getting to the heart of the matter now. You see, as I said in the beginning, we said from the beginning of this message last week, discernment is something everybody must have. Most people want it, but very few truly understand it. But we must have it. We must gain understanding, and it comes through the Word of God. And the heart of the matter is found here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. And the Word of God says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Yes. But watch this. This is why. "Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those," watch this, "by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There's the heart of the matter. You see, what we need to do, so many times people want to build a whole house and they don't have a foundation. We want to hit a home run, but we ain't worried about first base. Because the excitement is touching home plate, right? The excitement is coming back here. But the important part is everything you do on the way coming back here. The important part is everything that builds to it. And so many times we say, oh, I want to jump into spiritual gifts, and I want to jump in. And it's like I tried to tell you last week. It's like handing the keys of a Ferrari to a 15-year-old who's never drove a lawn tractor. You're asking for trouble. Somebody's going to get hurt. Maybe a lot of people are going to get hurt. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to do, and it's a great thing, and God wants to bless us. God wants us to have the ability to discern, but we've got to learn what we're doing before we're handed the keys. We've got to have an understanding. And the problem is we skip over the understanding. All right, if I just linger here long enough, if I just get around the right speakers, if I listen to the right YouTube preachers, if I listen to this and this, I'm going to get this understanding of discernment. I'm going to get this. It's just going to come to me like osmosis. No, it will not. You will find yourself following the wrong spirit, doing the wrong thing, because you never got grounded in the right word and the right standard. This is how I make judgments. This is how I decide if something is right or wrong. This is how I decide what I do. I can't operate on how I feel, church. I'm going to tell you something in a minute. God just brought something to my mind. I'm going to share it with you in a minute, but I got to wait. The author tells people just before this section here, just before, earlier in chapter 5, the author is making a reference to Melchizedek and tying the reference to the prophecy and psalm of the Messiah and making the reference to Jesus Christ. But then he comes to this, but you're not ready for such deep teaching yet. Because they hadn't learned. They hadn't gained understanding. They hadn't matured in faith. Mature faith does not act like the world. Mature faith does not lose their patience every time somebody offends them. Mature faith says, oh, somebody hurt my feelings. I'm never going to church again. Mature faith doesn't do that. Mature faith says, hey, you hurt my feelings. You may not have known it. You know, I've actually got, there's more than one person, but I think of one person specific. And I won't make, whether they're here or not doesn't matter this morning. They will see this video sometime this week. And you wouldn't think of this individual as the most spiritual person in the world. But there is honestly a level of maturity because they came to me once and said, you know, you hurt my feelings and this is how it happened. I was like, I had no idea I did it, church. Now, this person could have been bitter. And oh, wow, he did that. Forget it. I'm not going back there. And so many times it happens in church. We roll up our sleeves. Oh, he made me mad. But instead, and actually, by the grace of God, it was something I said, and this happened months and months ago. It was something I had said that Sunday in a message about how conflict brings growth and combat brings casualties. Conflict is good. If we offend each other, that's okay. Let's work through it and grow together. And because of God saying that, because of God using that word, he came to me and said, you know, this is what happened. This is what you did. It hurt my feelings. And we had a good talk, and we talked about it. I was like, I had no idea I did that. And I use that example because maturity looks like that. That's the process of maturity. Now, we can have maturity in some levels and be childish in other levels. I'm there, okay? There's areas I need to mature in. There are certain things I can't... I'll give you a quick example. I like to tell about my weaknesses because I don't want to stay weak forever, so I kind of make myself accountable. Sometimes one of my weaknesses is paying attention to people. I don't mean to do it. It just happens. And I was reminded of this past week on Malachi's birthday because 1 year we were here in Frederick and we were at Starland and was with a bunch of people from church we used to attend. And I kid you not, church. I'm not joking. I'm not even exaggerating. I'm sitting on a round bench and they're sitting right in front of me and we're having a conversation. My wife's here. And I was in mid-sentence and I hear the intro to a song come on. And this isn't a Christian song. I hear an intro to a song come on and my son's coming around. He catches my eye. And out I went. And when I didn't even think about it. For some reason, I lost all control of everything and just started skating with my son. And when I came back, my wife says, what is wrong with you? And I said, what? She goes, mid-sentence, you jumped out and started skating. I said, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And then it hit me. I was talking to somebody and just stopped and ran out. And she said, Sheila looked at me and said, what's wrong with him? In some areas, I can be mature. In some areas, I'm childish as it gets. I'm just, that's the way it is. I'm growing. I'm trying. I'm developing. But church, this is what the author is saying here in Hebrews. Because a lot of times we look at this, and I've heard this message, this passage preached so many times about how we need to get the Word of God, and we need to be teaching, and yes, we do. Absolutely, absolutely. And many of those messages were right on and good messages. But what the author is saying here in this portion of Scripture, he first starts with an illustration that they couldn't quite grasp. And then he says, you should be teaching this stuff. But you need to go back to the oracles. You need to go back to the beginning of sin and salvation and forgiveness and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith. These are the things we learned in kids' church. You know why I remember the fruits of the Spirit? Because in my mind, okay, I'm going to give you another. In my mind, I'm hearing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good. It's a song. I learned it in kids' church. To this day, I know all the spiritual fruits because I learned that song in kids' church. And in my head, every time I'm like, that's why I always say them in the same order because that's the order they are in the song. But these are the basics of Christianity. This is foundational. This is the stuff that's laid down originally, initially. And you get this and it becomes part of your life and you learn and you grow that who Jesus Christ is, sin and salvation, grace and forgiveness, mercy, holiness, following God. All of these principles are building blocks and they grow and they develop. And it's not like one day you wake up and say, okay, I'm there. I don't need to learn anymore. No. I need to keep learning. Keep learning. Because he says here in verse 14, the solid fruit belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They've been around, they've lived for God, they have a testimony, and they've operated in discernment, and they've operated in following God, and they've operated in the fruits of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit, and being an example, and they have grown in understanding. They weren't ready for the deep things yet, because they hadn't learned and gained understanding. They hadn't matured in faith. Mature faith doesn't act like the world. Mature faith stands out from the world. Hebrews 5 and 14. I'm going to wrap up now. He says in Hebrews 5, 14, who by reason of use, their senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. If we are not intentionally growing, we will not have an ability to discern. Not an accurate one. If we're not intentionally growing, we will not have an ability to discern. You know, it's not even a great illustration, but you can relate it to people who are in the computer field today. There's new problems, new viruses, new attacks, new things that happen every day. And if people in that field aren't constantly learning and growing, they're not going to be at sharp. They're not going to be on their game like they should be. The attacks of the enemy, he's going to change. From season to season, generation to generation, it's the same old attacks packaged differently. It's the same old things, but it's in a little different package, so you can't quite see what it is. We're going to call it a million different things, but it's still sin. And discernment will show me that. One of the many reasons to focus this year is on growing the individual. Is because if we don't grow, we can't operate in the Spirit. But we are called to operate in the Spirit, church. We have been brought to this place. In this building, there will be miracles. In this building, there will be... If I could tell you the visions I've had, just sitting right here on Tuesday nights in prayer, before we get together in prayer, just that, but even months ago and years ago before we started this thing, there's going to be healing, there's going to be deliverance, there's going to be miracles right here. And people are going to be drawn to this place. Why? Because Pastor Jones is great? No. Because those people are... No. Because God has done something there. And I want to know what God is doing. I need to connect with this God. He has done something in that place. And there is a real God. And I must come and find him. That's what's going to happen right here in this place. And this is where it starts. But it's going to continue on from there. And that's why this year has been all about growing the individual. And that includes Sunday. But when we get this message, it's devotion. Follow us in the YouVersion Bible app, church. I'm telling you, there's a devotion this week and there's an event on there. The devotion this week, I can't remember what it's called, but I'm going to put it out on my Facebook page later today. And many of you who are connected with us, you already have an invitation to be a part of it. But it will reiterate this word. It will bring this word back. It'll bring the purposes and the points of it and we'll build on it. Yes, thank you. And I'm telling you, when I saw this devotional, I had picked out a different one. The other one was listening to the voice, hearing the voice of God. But when I read through the preview of this one, I was like, no, this is it. This is it. Because it literally, you know, it not just talks about the discernment of what's coming at us. It talks about the discernment of we're supposed to be influencing others. There's a lot of influences in this world, but it's time the church stood up and took its place as the influencer of this world. Because that's what we're called to do, to subdue, to rule over, to reign with the Word of God, with the truth of God, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have been empowered to do so. Thank you for that, Nate. I appreciate that. That's the title of this week's devotion. So even if you're not connected with us, look up that devotion this week. We're starting tomorrow. It's a 5-day devotion, but I'm telling you, it will reiterate. That's part of the growth this year. Sunday, the devotion, going back to the Thursday replay, something we've had some technical difficulties, but we're trying to do it. Why? Not because I think I'm such a great preacher, but because I think this message, this point, this purpose is so important to each of us. And then we've been podcasting so you can revisit the message. I go back and listen to the message during the week. Because, church, I don't want you to think that I'm up here preaching this like somebody who's lived, oh, yeah, I've got it all together. Y'all should be like me. No, I go back and like, man, that was a good word, Lord. I want to learn from that. I want to be able to have discernment. I want to know where I can grow. I want to develop these things. We have Sunday school. That's just the beginning. We have prayer. We have fasting. We have worship. There's more coming. And you know why more is coming? Because more is coming. We need to be more because God wants to bring more. You know, something that hit me when we were praying this past Tuesday night, and I'd been praying along these lines for a while now, but it really just came to life when I was sitting there by myself praying before we got up as a group. Oftentimes we're saying, God, bring me this. God, send this. God, send this. And it wasn't until Tuesday night, we stood here and I told everybody who was standing here, I said, he's already sent it. Now he needs to bring us. We're already here. This is a place of blessing. This is a place where his spirit's going to be poured out. This is a place where there's going to be miracles. But we have to be ready for it. We have to be ready to handle the holy. You see, when they went to bring the Ark of the Covenant back the first time, what happened? They put it on a cart pulled by a mule. And somebody had the audacity to reach out and touch it because it shook. And what happened? He died. They didn't know how to handle the holy, so the holy never made it back to where it needed to be. But then David went and educated himself. And he found out the priests would carry it on poles, and there would be worship. And what happened when it came back this time? David danced so hard, he lost his kingly robe. David was so excited, as the people were so excited, because the presence of God. Church, I'm telling you, when we learn to handle the holy, and we're learning. Oh, we're learning. When we learn to handle the holy, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, the blessing of God is going to be right here. And this whole city around us is going to say, what on earth is happening over in that little red brick building? And they're going to be coming with diseases. They're going to be coming with sickness. They're going to be coming with ailments. They're going to be coming with addictions. They're going to be coming with need of deliverance. And it is going to happen right here where I'm standing, church. Right here. We're already here. God, don't bring it to us. God, bring us to it. Bring us up to it. It's time for us to educate ourselves. It's time for us to train and to grow in the Spirit because we are going to need discernment. Trust me, we're going to need discernment, but we're going to need to operate in it properly. More is coming, and we need to learn how to handle the holy. You know, one of the things, and my kids, every one of them, and we're finding this out one by one, you know, it wasn't just my son. They've all taken a turn, and my son's had it the roughest. But they've all struggled with anxiety. We've seen it now this past week. It's really struck our six-year-old. And I'm guilty. It came from me. As a kid and even as an adult. You know why it takes me a while to start classes sometimes? And I'm just being honest with you. No pastor should talk like this. I'm sorry. I hope you don't think less of me. You know why it takes me so long to start some things? And I say this to myself. Sometimes I'll drive down the road and I counsel myself. And don't worry, I'm not that crazy. But I do. I counsel myself. I start talking to myself. I'm like, Lord, what is my biggest problem? And a lot of times it is my own anxiety. You know what took me so long to start Sunday school? Part of it was the logistics of it. The other part was, I hope you don't look down on me for this. The other part was, who really wants to learn from me? I know that sounds weird. But that's how my mind was thinking. What do I really have to offer? And there's a level of humility in there, but there's also a level of false humility in there. Because I knew what I had. I knew what God had given me. I knew the word he had placed in me. And a couple months ago, when we really started talking about, you know, we're going to start and this is going to be the date and that's just the way it is. That was when God finally broke through. I got this level of discernment of realizing, as spiritual as I want to be, the enemy was messing with my head. Honest to goodness. Making me feel a certain way, like, they don't want to hear you teach. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of you really feel that? No, I'm just kidding. But that's what the enemy was saying. They don't want to hear you teach. But I knew I had something from God. Church, and I've said it time and time again, it's not about me, it's about the Word. It's all about the Word. But that's what held me back. There was something holding me back, and I needed that discernment, and I didn't have it at the time. But several months ago, just clear as day, I said, oh, my gosh. I felt foolish, church. A couple minutes ago when this came to my mind, I was not going to share this. I'm like, you can't share that with the church, especially when you're online. That's just horrible. I'm going to have all kinds of pastors call me this week going, what's wrong with you, boy? You don't talk like that. I'd rather be honest to a fault, church, because I don't want to hide nothing. I've seen that before. I've been that before. It doesn't do anybody any good. But I'm telling you from experience, when I learned to discern what was really going on, then I was like, all right, I'm done stopping. God, I need to serve you with everything I got. I need to figure this thing out and how we're going to do it and move forward. And I share that because I believe all of us can relate to that some way or another. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's something else. Something else is stopping you from moving forward in what God has called you to do. Don't let it stop you anymore. Pray for discernment. Lord, what is it that's stopping me? Give me discernment to see what's holding me back. Am I holding me back? Is it a feeling? Is it something in my mind? What's going on? And Lord, help me kill it. Help me destroy what's holding me back, that I might serve you, that I might chase you, that I might follow you. You see, when we bear ourselves, it's humbling, but it also brings discernment. And church, that is the humility of discernment. Let's pray.